Those texts which Gary read a moment ago invite us into this topic that we're studying for the next while. Let all that is within me bless God's holy name. Thanks to Laura for that visual there. How do we know and worship God with all that is within us, with our whole multifaceted self? Jesus said, of course, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with your whole heart, your whole soul and strength and mind. Again, your whole human self. You know, I think our culture is strongly trending towards narrowing down and compartmentalizing. Ours is a complex and high-tech world, and so people studying become experts in very narrow and specific fields. And so when we need assistance of some kind or guidance, we go over there for financial advice, or we go over here for healthcare, or to that consultant for IT, or to this expert for something else. And then for the spiritual angle, of course, then we go to church. Notice how we often even speak about it. What church do you go to? We ask people. And frankly, for many, that's perhaps what it amounts to, going to a building at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning and attending a service. And what happens in that service? A few songs, a prayer, and mostly listening to someone talk and trying to internalize some ideas that are being spoken. All very fine and good things in themselves, but can we reduce Christian faith and life down to going to church or listening to a message? I would suggest that in our culture, in our society, too often Christianity has been to a great extent reduced down or compartmentalized to some of those kinds of actions. Yet we find in the biblical story, as God invites the Hebrew people to know their God, and ultimately as Jesus brings God right down among them, right down among us, to walk with us, the life in the kingdom of God cannot be so reduced or compartmentalized down to this spiritual action or that pious ritual. All that is within us, the whole scope of our human capacity and experience, is engaged in this journey of knowing and worshiping and walking in step with God. So for these five Sundays of fall, we look at the senses, these capacities that God has placed within us to perceive, to engage, to contact and connect with life and, well, us with the giver of life. Last Sunday, Calvin started off with hearing. Today, as Gary has already introduced beautifully, we consider seeing or the gift of sight. And I cannot help but immediately think of Jesus walking down the lanes and through the hillsides and the fields and vineyards, saying to his disciples, look, look, see. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers of the field. Look at that vineyard over there. Look at the shepherd with his sheep. All these pictures, all around us, there's this teaching about the kingdom of God. All around us, the canvas of creation is displaying, Jesus says, displaying truth, displaying wisdom, displaying things that you can see if you have eyes to see it. Everything is pregnant with the presence. And an invitation is there to possibly connect deeply and meaningfully, to look and see. I know that's a challenge for me when I'm stuck in my head going through my day, stressed about this and that. I can go for quite a while without really seeing much. This morning I want to simply invite us to look and see. So I'm going to do far less talking than is usual in a message. Why talk about looking, right? Why not look? So I'm going to sit over there where Gary was. I'm going to read some scriptures that invite us to see imaginatively, project a few images again, and invite us simply to look and see what we see. Perhaps look more deeply than we might otherwise. What can we come to know about God, God's world, God's kingdom, through the act of seeing? And because the senses assist one another, I'll put on a little quiet music to help our perception.
Jesus invites us to gain faith and wisdom from the natural things around us. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and that your heavenly Father feeds them. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Look, says Jesus, what do you see? Jesus points to a common sight and urges us to see an image of our relationship to himself. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Once Jesus took a common image from the Old Testament, wings of protection. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And what about God's responses to our failings, to our sin and repentance? Luke 15:21. The Son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Rembrandt saw this image in his mind's eye. What do you see? As we sang in that previous hymn, what do we see when we look around at human need and suffering? Matthew 25:37. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And then all nature proclaims the majesty of Creator God. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made.
Anybody have a comment on one image that struck you in a particular way? Something you saw?
The one where they were scooping the food to feed the children.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had the opportunity of going to India and we all saw almost the identical thing.
Hmm. Anyone else? I think very often we take our senses for granted and assume that we are seeing and hearing and perceiving, and we are on one level. Yet I recall Jesus saying in Mark chapter 4 that for many people they may indeed look but not perceive, may indeed listen but not understand. I think we all know what it's like to be talking to someone, and although they're hearing our voice, we just feel that they're not really listening. Maybe their eyes are shifting a bit, or they seem distracted or indifferent. Maybe sometimes we're the one who's listening, struggling to pay attention to someone else when we're distracted. It's possible to have auditory stimulation going on and not really hear. And I can be driving through the countryside and sort of seeing my surroundings on one level, but whatever's on my mind, pressures at work or whatever, kind of occupy me, and I'm not really seeing. I think you know what I mean. Sometimes you have to give yourself a bit of a shake and, oh, look at that. You know, just really sort of focus on something. Of course, people who go for walks or ride bikes know that that closer contact with your surroundings makes seeing something by the side of the path, a flower or something, so much more easy than our driving culture allows. And beyond nature, to see people, to really see people, who they are, what makes them unique, wonderful images of God. To see their need and what might connect us deeply. In the least of these, Jesus says, you meet me. Do we see people? It's easy to pass by all kinds of people and not really see them at all. We may look but not perceive. We may listen but not understand. So I pray that for all of us, that the Holy Spirit may enable us, the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about all summer long, may enable us to be attuned to the presence of God all around us, to be dialed into what is before us, to be able to see the lessons of God's kingdom in the canvas of creation. And I think we can help each other on that journey to look and to see well by sharing experiences and wisdom gained on the journey. I'm glad to be on this journey with all of you.